Happy Mother's Day, all the moms out there. Raise your hand if you're a mom. Awesome, awesome. You know what I like about Mother's Day? I noticed this morning. All the moms are walking in, they got smiles on their faces, and they're dressed a little bit nicer, got a little bounce in your step, so which is awesome. You know, I know it's a Hallmark holiday, but who cares? It's awesome that you can feel that way and celebrate Mother's Day. Part of me goes, man, I wish you felt like that all the time. You should. You should. It's a blessing to be a mom. I know it might not always feel like that, especially if you have teenagers or preteens or if you have kids that makes you a mom. It doesn't always feel like it, but it's truly a blessing from God to be a mother. So I hope you feel encouraged by those around you this morning. Fellas, if you're married to a mom, treat her this way every day. You know, I'm sure you're like me, you're going out of your way to make sure she has a great day and she gets to do these things she wants to do. And you probably did the dishes. You probably do that all the time. I got to remind myself of that too, just to always treat my wife and the moms in my life in a special way. So let's go ahead and pray for all the moms and let's join me in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the gift of motherhood from the beginning, God. It's been your plan, scripture said. To Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, God. So, God, I just thank you for all the moms in this room. God, I do ask that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them through your spirit, God, that not just on a special day like Mother's Day, but 365, God, every day they would have your power and your strength, God, to fulfill the role and the call. And, God, I just thank you for the influence of a godly mother in the lives of children, God. So I pray that you would grant the moms in this room great favor with their kids, God, and over the years, God, even when they leave the home. For those who are moms in this room and have older kids, God, I ask that their relationships would be strong, God, that they continue to have influence in their children's life, God. And we just pray for those in this room, Father, who it's a desire of their heart to be a mom, but it has not happened yet, God. I ask that you would be with them, God, in that place of waiting. Father, I do ask that you continue to lead and guide the steps of the women in this room who desire to be a mother but have not been able to yet, God. Would you show them the path that you have for them, God, whatever that may be. And Father, we just ask that you would be with all the folks in this room who have had mothers who have passed away, God. May you just seal those great memories in their mind, God, over the years, God. May they never forget. So will you be with them today, God, maybe for some of us in this room who are just in one sense mourning, but in another sense celebrating. God, through your spirit, may you minister to everyone here today. And Father, I just lift up the rest of this day to you, the message, Father, as we continue on with the Blessed Life series. God, would you give us the ability to believe you and to believe your word for what it says, Father. And as we sang that song, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, Father. I ask that you would do that this morning, that you would just break the chains of fear in this room, whatever it may be, Father, so that we can follow your call to be a people who love you and who live a life of generosity. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, if you weren't here last week, we kicked off a new series. It's a 4-week series called The Blessed Life, God's Response to Our Generosity. And yes, for those that weren't here last week, it is a 4-week series. We're going to be talking about giving. We're going to be talking about generosity. We're going to be talking about your money and what you do with it. So we're going to get really personal. I know 4 weeks, as I said last week, seems like a long time to be talking about that. But the reality is Jesus talked about money and possessions 15% of the time. The words that we have of Jesus in Scripture, 15% of the time, he was talking about how we handle our possessions and our money and what we treasure. And so 4 weeks really isn't that long if it feels like it to you. But I want to do my best to give us all a reminder, and also for those that weren't here last week, what we talked about, because I think it really helps set the tone for the series. And anytime we do a series like this, this is one of those how you ought to live kind of series. And we just came off a series called the Vision Series, and this is what I call discipleship. Talking about giving and talking about generosity really is nothing more than discipleship, which is defined for us as being conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And so this idea of being a person who likes to give and a person who's generous, we're talking about just becoming more like Jesus in a real sense. And I wanted to remind us again this week a couple things about a life of generosity, that it is not about duty. Believe it or not, it's actually about joy. John 15, Jesus said, the commands that I give you, one of those commands that Jesus gives us is to be a person who lives a life of generosity. The reason he gives us those commands is so that his joy the joy of Jesus may be complete in us. So that what we find actually when we live a life of generosity, we experience the joy of Jesus in our lives. And then a life of generosity, again, just to make sure we're all on the same page, it's not about obligation, but it's about freedom. That it's about being able to freely give what God has given to us. And so again, as you go through this series, if anyone is in here and you begin to feel condemnation, I just tell you to rebuke that, to run away from that. Remind yourself that I'm pursuing joy and that I'm pursuing freedom, the freedom that God has for me. Make sense? All on the same page? All right. It's really important. And then last week, we also talked about the basis of our generosity. And that, quite frankly, is two things. God is a generous in himself, that God is a giver by his nature. And we find that in no other place, obviously, than when God the Father gave us his son. Jesus gave his life for ours. And even when Jesus went away to go back to the right hand of the Father, what did he do? He gave us his spirit to live within us. So the nature of God, that he's generous, that God is always giving. So that's one hand. The other hand is that God has unlimited resources. God owns everything. So we put those two things together, that God himself is generous and wants to continue to give us things and continue to bless us, and he has unlimited resources. Hopefully, that sets us up for believing that we can live a generous life. I love using my continuum, so I'm going back to it here this morning. But that's where God wants all of us, right here, that place where we're able to just pour out our resources to give generously to those in need, to give generously for the further of the gospel in South Lebanon and beyond, that place of joy where we actually experience joy when we do that. And we're free, that we don't even have to think about it, that we're able, when the Holy Spirit says, give this, we just respond to it. We don't even have the place of freedom. This is where God wants us, everyone in this room. Most of us are probably here, and we have to realize that. Most of us are probably about right here. We're really far from where God wants us in this area in our lives, and I think we probably know that and realize that. This is probably not an aha moment for many of us, but that pure place of freedom and joy with our giving and our generosity, that we're not quite here, and some of us are here, about 40% of us are here, where we give nothing away. We give nothing away at all. We hold on to everything that we get. But most of us are probably we're pretty far away from where God wants us. And I think there's one reason for that. There's one big reason for that. If you got a bulletin, flip it over. I really encourage you to fill in the blanks. And the reason I do that is because it helps you kind of track with me throughout the talk. And you also have something to go home with. But the greatest barrier to getting to there, the greatest barrier to living a life of generosity is fear. Now, I don't have a scripture to read to you to say that's the real answer, but I know it's true. And I got some scripture that I'm going to share with you how to overcome that. But for most of us, getting to the place where we can just, like, we don't own it, but we realize that God actually owns everything. We're able just to freely give. To get to that place of joy and freedom, we've got to break through the fear that we have in our lives. And we know, right, that fear is not from God, right? Can we all agree at least on that? That if you're in this room and you have fear about living a life of generosity, we can all agree, hopefully, that that's not from God, right? Right? Amen. God is not the one producing fear in our lives. The fear that we have comes from a couple places. One, it comes from what the Bible calls our flesh, which is another way of saying our spiritual weakness, right? We're all broken. We're all weak in certain areas. And part of the way that gets manifested for us is this fear about just giving our stuff away for the purposes that God wants us to. Another reason that we have fear, if it's not from God and it's not from our flesh, is from Satan. God's enemy, our enemy, the great deceiver. And Satan's really good at what he does. Satan has a way in our lives, don't you think, that he makes it look like God is like a God of scarcity, like God wants to withhold stuff from us. That's what Satan makes us. He wants to view us as God as someone who wants to withhold things from us. And Satan has a way of making us thinking that he actually is the one who wants to give us everything, right? And he's really good at this. And we have to realize that when we have these fears, that some of that is what's going on. And we need to overcome these fears about living a life of generosity. And so I see these fears, and you know your life story. I don't know all your life stories, and there's many layers to this fear we have about being generous. Some of it has to do with the home that you were raised in. Some of it has to be the circumstances of your life for the last 15, 20, 30 years. And so there's lots of layers to some of the fears that we have. But at the core, I've got like three ideas I want to share with you that I think help us get over this fear that we may have about living a life of generosity. And I think for most of us, and this is where I raise my hand, you know, most of us, the fear that we have comes from the fact that we feel like if we're going to be generous, that we're not going to have enough left to meet our needs. That the reason we don't just open the floodgates of generosity is because we're afraid that if we do that, our needs will not be met. If you have a Bible, open up to Matthew chapter 6. This won't be on your screen, but I want to speak to that for a moment. That this idea that if all of a sudden we start doing something crazy, like we tithe and give 10% of our income, or we do something really crazy and generous and give 15 or 20% of it away, that we won't be able, our needs won't be met. There won't be food on the table. There won't be clothes on our back. These are the words of Jesus that kind of, he was talking to some folks about this. And I'm going to read a few passages from chapter 6 of Matthew. One second here. All right. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what will you wear? Is not life more than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So here he's just talking about, we're worrying about food. I want to be generous, but I can't, and if I am, I can't feed my family. And Jesus just says, come on, really? Is that who I am? Do I not even take care of the birds in the sky? Of course I do. Don't I even love you more than the birds? Of course he does. And he goes on to talk about the clothes, worrying about the clothes on our back. And he just says, you know what? The grass of the fields, don't I give them all the plants and the lilies that they need? I clothe the fields. Won't I clothe you? And of course he will, but some reason we have this fear that we can't do it because our needs won't be met. Maybe you're there. I've been there in my life. I've also been where this fear that if I live a life of generosity, I won't have security. I won't have something to fall back on. And maybe this doesn't impact a lot of people in this room, but some of us have much larger bank accounts than we need. We have to have that money for a rainy day. If you're a Dave Ramsey fan, yes, you have to have money for a rainy day. But God wants us to be able to live a life of generosity. And we have this fear that we can't give too much away because then we won't have security. We've got to have something to fall back on. And we're looking for money for that security. So again, maybe that's you, maybe that's not you. But then also the fear that we're missing out on the good stuff. This is where I live most of my life. That you know, I didn't do anything with my resources but use them for myself. And a lot of that was this fear that if I didn't spend it on certain things, that I'd be missing out on what the world had to offer. That I had to have that certain vacation because that's what it's all about. That I had to have a certain car or that certain house or that certain article of clothing or that certain, because that's the good stuff. And this fear had prevented me from living a life of generosity because I thought those were the things that were going to bring me joy. And so for you, maybe it's the fear of missing the good stuff. I don't know what it is, but you have to wrestle with a reason why maybe you're right here. And God wants you way down there. What is that fear in your life that is preventing you from stepping into the joy and the freedom that God has for you? I said that I've been into most of these places, and I have. And I'm not there yet. I'm not right there. I'm not there. Probably about right here, but I'm not all the way where God wants me because I still wrestle with fear. And if you don't think you have fear, I want you just to kind of just discern that here this morning, that maybe that's the reason that you're not living a life of generosity. And again, you've probably heard all this, right? Have I told you anything that's not logical? Have I told you anything you may have not already heard? Probably not. But again, what is it then? This is logical stuff, especially if you're a follower of Christ. But again, why are we there? And I want to share a truth with us here this morning that I don't think many of us really believe. And what does the Bible say? Know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And I'm hoping here this morning that hearing this truth again about who God is and how he responds to our generosity, that some of us, if not all of us, will be set free. This is the truth, and it's another blank for you. God always, and I mean always, I don't mean sometimes or when he feels like it or when he gets around to it. God always provides for and blesses those who live a life of generosity. 100% of the time, guaranteed that God's response to our generosity is blessing and provision. I want to read to you three scriptures that speak to this. And if you don't believe that, well, I should say this. And if you're not living that truth out in your life, I really want you to listen to these scriptures and let them challenge you here this morning. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through 25. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. So we got one person who give freely, and they gain more. Another withholds unduly, holds on to what they have, but they come to poverty. A generous person prospers. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 6. And this is right in the context of the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church about giving and about collecting an offering. He says this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Why do we have a hard time believing that? When we're generous with our resources, and we're talking about money, when we're generous with our money and we give it away in the way that God wants us for the purposes of God, why do we have a hard time believing that he gives it all back to us? Often, as the scriptures say, he gives us even more than we give away. Why do we have a hard time believing that? I wish I don't have a great answer, actually. I've been thinking about this for a whole week. Because if we believe that, if we truly believe that, we would be uber generous, wouldn't we? If we truly believe that when we give away our money, God even gives us back more, we would do it, wouldn't we? And I think part of the reason is, and I don't know, I'm just guessing that for some of us it sounds strange what I just said. That this idea of sowing and reaping, that when we give away, God gives back the same or usually more, that he blesses us financially. And some of us get uncomfortable with me saying that because I'm thinking you're probably sounding like, that doesn't sound like grace. Aren't we earning God's blessing? And so I want to talk through that for a moment in case that's a barrier for you, is that somehow you think by being generous, you're earning God's blessing. And I know another issue that some of us may have in this room is that you've been exposed to what is called prosperity gospel, the health and wealth gospel. And that you're saying, Jeff, you're starting to sound like that. So I want to address that here. But when we talk about this idea of sowing and reaping, that we pour out, God gives back. This measure that we give out is the measure that God gives back to us. That's been in the scriptures throughout all of human history. It's how God has worked with his people throughout the Old Testament. Jesus used this idea of sowing and reaping constantly throughout the New Testament as well. And the thing is, we've got to realize that there's two parts to it. The first is grace. Everything we have from God is by the grace of God. Absolutely everything. It's why we talk about that around here. We talk about this idea of repentance around here. It's a way to remind ourselves that we deserve nothing, that we deserve absolutely nothing, that everything from God is grace. Everyone take a deep breath. Exhale. That's God's grace in your life. We don't deserve that breath, even. We don't deserve any. Everything we get from God is by the grace of God. But at the same time, the same truth is that God meets our generosity with his blessing, and that when we pour into others' lives, God pours into our lives. When we give generously for God's kingdom, God gives generously back to us. That is equally true. That is all God's grace. And our obedience to God's commands, it doesn't negate grace. And it's okay to believe, you know, God rewards us. He does. Is that your motivation for giving? I'll get to that. Absolutely not. But we have to believe that always, always and always, God provides for and blesses those who live a life of generosity. But you have to answer this question, because I know some of you are still uncomfortable. I see it. Why does he do it? That's the million-dollar question. That's what separates truth from the prosperity gospel. Why does God do that in our lives? I want to read a scripture to you. Tracy, be sure not to go to the second slide. I'm just going to read the first half of the scripture. 2 Corinthians 9. Again, this is Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church about their giving and generosity. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that... How do you answer that? That's the million-dollar question. Why does God? So that I can have whatever I want. So that I can live in a bigger house. So that I can have enough money to retire early. If that's what we believe, why God does this, that's what we call the prosperity gospel. That's not the reason God blesses us. Go to the next slide. Yes, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank you. God blesses and meets our generosity with blessing simply so we can continue to be more generous. Another blank for you, and maybe this will make more sense to you. God blesses us so we can continue to be a blessing. God blesses us financially, and I keep saying that because I want to make sure it's clear that I really am talking about financial blessing. And I know God blesses us in every way with healthy relationships and all that. We talked about that last week, that we're giving every spiritual blessing in Christ. But this is specifically talking about the act of giving and generosity of our resources. God blesses us so that we can continue to be a blessing. If you were here on Tuesday for community night, you heard Tita talk about this exact thing, and I thought she gave a tremendous illustration of what that looked like, so I'm going to do my best Tita interpretation and share that with you. So who knows Spanish? Anybody? All right. Yeah, oh, duh. Fuentes, do you know Spanish? But Tita actually used the scripture from Proverbs 11. And here, Tita lives in a context of, extreme poverty, where people make, if you're lucky, a couple bucks a day. And she's using Proverbs 11 that says, what you pour out, God will pour back into you. And so this is a universal truth. This isn't just a truth for rich people. This is a truth for everybody. But Tita put it this way. She's, you know, when we hold on to what we have, like we're clenched hands, We don't give it away. We don't live generously until we release it to God. Until we're not in a position where we can receive back from God. And I love that picture she's giving. That we're holding like this. God's unable to give us blessings, financial blessings. But when we release it and open up to God, he's able to fill us back up, and then we put it back into, and then we release it yet again to God, and probably even in greater measures. And you know what God will do? He'll fill it back up. He'll continue to bless it. He'll provide for your needs and even more than that. Why? So that you and I can continue to be a blessing. That's how a church operates too. That's how this church will function and grow, is when part of us reaching more people is for us to be a generous people. Are we going to hoard it for ourselves? Absolutely not. We're going to do what we've always done, continue to give it out to those who need it more than us, continue to try to make the gospel advance further in this community. And when we're open like that, God can bless us. Think of it this way. I mean, our role in this is that God needs something to bless. He has had something. God needs something that's blessable. Does that make sense? And God's not going to bless this. He's not. He's going to bless that. When we are generous and we open up our hearts and we live in joy and freedom and we give away, God is going to bless this, but he can't bless that. Are you still uncomfortable? You feel good? I want to go ahead and watch a video of a friend of mine. His name's Dave Wick. His whole family is really good friends of ours. He's an elder up at the Rivers Crossing campus as well. And Dave's kind of worked through a lifetime of all this, having fear, letting go, but then in the end, seeing God's response to his generosity. Go ahead and watch Dave's story.
So back in college, I was at the University of Cincinnati, and I was kind of taught a lot about finance and personal finance, read a number of books, and was really kind of drilled into me that I need to save 10% of everything that I earn, first and foremost, that I need to take care of myself. Nobody else is going to be looking out for myself. I need to save 10%. And it was something that I've been passionate about ever since college, from the first day that I had a job, that I was going to save. And I've got this number in my mind that I want to have saved in a savings account, not including 401k or other investments or anything like that. But that's just what I wanted, and I was passionate about it. And really, the thought behind that was, I want to be safe. I want to know that if something bad were to happen, that I would have enough money that we would be able to get by for a while. And see, I started to put my trust in the savings account. That savings account, as it was building, was kind of becoming an idol for me. And fast forward a couple more years, we're ready to buy a building, and I knew we were going to start a building campaign. Shannon and I are talking about it, and we say, all right, let's spend, you know, a couple weeks, spend some serious time, focus prayer about what kind of gift God wants us to give to the Bold Faith campaign. And so we do that, come back together a couple weeks later, and I had a number in my mind, Shannon had a number in her mind, and they were pretty close. So we said, okay, we'll do that, we'll agree to that. And that number was, and I had built this savings account up pretty significantly, was getting on my way to that goal, and the number was not quite all of that savings account. And just over time, I kind of felt this burning in my heart, God just saying, are you being obedient? What are you afraid of? And I can kind of remember, because we were just holding a little bit back, we weren't giving all of that savings account, we're just holding a little bit back. And God finally said, give it all. Why are you afraid? Trust me. I want to bless you. Give it all. So we had given about half of that money that we had pledged, and God made it clear to me after years and years of prayer that we were supposed to go through with adoption. So in the middle of this Bold Faith campaign, we start to go down the road of adoption, which is very expensive. So part of me started to wrestle with, okay, God, does that mean I have to finish off this Bold Faith pledge? Because this is really a big financial commitment, and obviously it's in your plan. So I kind of started to negotiate with God, and again, he made it very clear, no, you are supposed to do this, and I'm going to take care of it. We went through that process, and we have since adopted a beautiful little girl, and I just can't imagine what life would be like without her. And we have also since finished off our Bold Faith pledge, and I mean, just the way that God has blessed us. I mean, it's just I don't want to come across as prosperity gospel, but I just know that in my life, in the way that this has worked in the lives of Shannon and I, as we've stepped out and overcome fears and stepped out in obedience to what God wants us to do in all areas of our life, he has just blessed us beyond belief. And today, and actually by the end of this month, we will have, after a bunch of adoption expenses, after finishing off Bold Faith, we will have almost three times as much as what our original Bold Faith pledge was in that savings account. And it's not about the money. It's much more about saying, God, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, and really earnestly seeking God. And then God saying, that's all I want to see. I want all of you. That's what God wants for us. And it's just us. It's just our fear and our lack of obedience that's holding back from what God wants for us.
After the message last week, I had a lady come up to me, and she said, I know exactly what you're talking about. I was down to $10 to my name, and I was at church, and I knew God wanted me to give it to the offering, and she said, I did it, and that whole rest of the day, I was beating myself up, like, that was dumb, and that was stupid. Why did I do that? I must not have been hearing from God, and later that day, she found a $20 bill, and I know that sounds like, oh, he must be making this stuff up, But it's how God works, because he wants to bless us so that we can continue to be a blessing. I've seen this in my life I've seen it so much I don't even realize that it happened. Sarah had to remind me of a couple times it happened in our lives that when I've given money away when I've wanted to hold on to it. I remember when I first became a Christian. You know, I became a Christian about 13 years ago, and I was just so in love with Jesus. He radically transformed my lives, like he's radically transformed a lot of your lives. And I didn't know what to do. All I know, this bag was passing around in front of me every week, and people were putting money in it. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Bible or that I loved Jesus, but I remember just throwing $20 bill in it, and then a few weeks later, I just felt like it had to be more, so I'd throw $50 in, and a few weeks later, I'm like, I'm going to throw a $100 bill in, and then I finally did some research. What does the Bible actually say about giving and generosity? And God had put it on my heart that, you know, I wanted to begin tithing, and it happened pretty early for me. But at the time, I remember I had a lot of things I was trying to save money for. Sarah and I had met, and we were getting serious, and we're talking marriage. I'm thinking I need to save money for a ring, a wedding, a honeymoon, a house. And so I got all these reasons. But then I just found myself for the first time in my life just giving this money away. But I wanted to save it for all these things. And you know what God did? I got a bonus equal to half my salary, and I did absolutely nothing. Trust me, I felt guilty for taking the money. I didn't do anything to earn that. I sat at my desk for 3 months playing on the internet, it's a long story, but I did nothing, but God blessed it. I remember when God, I know, amen. But I was generous. I just gave away. I wanted to hold on to, but I said, I'm just going to be generous, and God blessed that. And I remember God called me to ministry, and I felt the need to have some formalized education and take some seminary courses. And at this time, we were down. Sarah was working at home with Andrew, and we were living on one salary, not a ton of money, and it was going to be a huge financial investment to do that. But I really felt like that was the next step, and so I went ahead and began that process. And I even forgot this till Sarah reminded me. But a couple weeks after I made that commitment, someone came into our lives and paid off our car, and we had no car payment, and that's how God works. When we give him something to bless, he will bless it, and we can trust him in that. And the question isn't, you know, when I get $1 million, you know, how many times have we thought that? If I just won the lottery, then I would. Anybody have those thoughts? I've had them. If I just won the lottery, then I would do this and this and this and all these generous acts. The question isn't when do we get $1 million, or the question is what will you do with for some of us, $100,000? What will you do with the $50,000? What will you do with the $10,000? For some of us, what will you do with the $100 you have? And others will be, what will you do with the $10, like that lady? What will you do with it? That's the question for you. Will you be generous? Will you trust God and believe that he will provide for you and that he will bless your generosity? Again, don't let Satan steal the freedom and the joy that God has for you. Don't let him continue to lie to you and tell you that God won't come through. I mean, it doesn't make sense, does it? Just in case you're still stuck. And I hope you see the heart behind this, that have I once said, give your money to the church? The call of God is to be generous. I think this is a good place for that, but this isn't about the church getting more money. But maybe there's other places God has for you, but this is a lifestyle of generosity that God is calling you to. So I hope you see the heart behind this and that I want you there. I want you to receive God's blessing. I want you to experience joy and freedom because I believe it's true and I've experienced in my life. And so this isn't, I hope you see the angle I'm coming from, but let's be logical about it. And if we give away and we become generous, Jesus is not going to punish us for that. He won't do it. And one last opportunity to get you over that hill of fear. Some of us feel like we're probably on the Diamondback right now. The first time. Everybody, right? First time you rode the Diamondback. You get first car, top of the hill. You got that like a second where you can see it. Okay? And that's where some of us are. I know it. That's how, because you love Jesus and you're trying to follow him with all your heart. And you want to obey his commands. I know you. Some of you are like standing here right there. But you want to just scream, stop. I can't do it. But I'm telling you, you can do it. Jesus isn't going to punish you because you're generous. He's going to bless you when you're generous, okay? He's going to provide for every single need you have. You can trust him. I want to close with four practical things now. Starting points of generosity. So my assumption is this, that most of us in this room, and I believe it's true with all my heart, we want to be that generous. We want to be a person who lives a life of generosity. So I want to give us four simple starting points for generosity, and we're going to pick it up next week and continue on this journey of generosity. So four blanks for you. The first one is give. In order to be generous, we have to give something. 40% of the folks who attend church on a regular basis give nothing. 25% folks who attend church on a regular basis give next to nothing. By that, I mean it's probably 1% or 2% of their income. 65% of the folks who attend church basically give nothing or next to nothing. If we want to be generous, and I know this is obvious, we have to start somewhere. We have to give. We have to get in the game. So my call for us today is to at least get into the game, to begin steps towards generosity. My goal for this series isn't to raise $200,000 for the church. My goal through this series is that we'll have 100% of people that call Village Community Church home on the road to generosity, giving something, beginning the lifestyle of generosity. And I know you've talked to most scholars or pastors, they think that's impossible. Well, you're never going to get 100% of the people. Well, I don't think that's true. I think we can be that church. We can be that people that God wants us to be. And I do want to say this just as a point of correction as much as anything. And I get it. Trust me, I get it. Most of us in this room, we don't feel like we have enough already. And so our tendency is to say something like this: well, I don't have anything that I can really give financially, and so I'm going to serve. That's how I give back to God. And then, no doubt, I 100% affirm that we give back to God through our time and through our serving. But I also want to be really clear, in case you think so, that serving does not replace giving. That serving doesn't replace generosity. God wants both. Guess what? God blesses both. So number one, give. Get in the game. Number two, give regularly. You want to be generous, you need to give regularly. Most people give only when they attend church. Average churchgoer comes 1.4 times a month to church. So most people, if you want to really be generous, you're going to get in the habit and just the rhythm of life of giving regularly. And so maybe you're that person who just gives when they come. And so the tough question I have for you, are you just tipping? are you trying to live a life of generosity? If you want to live a life of generosity, we need to give regularly. And the Apostle Paul, man, he talked exactly about this. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. This isn't something I made up. Now about the collections for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches. So Apostle Paul told this to the Galatians. Now he's telling it to the Corinthians. This is part of his regular teaching. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Practical advice from the Apostle Paul on giving. Just every week, set it aside. It's called first fruits, and we'll talk a lot about that next week. But the first thing we do with the money that we have is we give back to God. We set it aside for God. The other option is giving God our leftovers or giving God our first fruits. If we want to be generous, part of the steps we take towards generosity is getting in the habit of giving to God first through our first fruits. And for some of us, a great way to do that, I know you can't be here every week. I'm not here every week, all right? But one way, if you want to become generous and get in the habit of giving, you can go online and do it weekly. Go to our website. You can even schedule it out. Maybe you're the type of person like, man, I want to. I just forget. You know, well, guess what? You can go online. You can schedule, you know, every Monday, this amount of money can be withdrawn from my checking account. Guess what? That's going to lead to a life of generosity. So we need to give regularly, and then we need to give intentionally. Proverbs 21:5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Generosity doesn't happen without a plan. The most common gift that churches receive, and we're no different, is either $20, $25, or $50. And for some of us, that is generosity. But for a lot of us, that just means we didn't think about it. Or we didn't plan about it. And if we truly want to be generous, we need to plan for it. That's what I had to share some of my story in my life. I had to plan to be generous, to go from nothing, and hear this clear as can be. If you're here and it's nothing, I'm not asking you to jump all the way down there. You're going to pull a hamstring. You're probably going to quit coming to church, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm saying get in the game, start somewhere, but have a plan to do it. You know, we're working on stuff around here, Kevin Payton and myself. We want to have some resources for you. We're not there yet, but guess what? I used to be a CPA. So if you truly need help with that, I'm willing to have lunch, sit down, and meet with you and go over that. On the back of your connection card, just say, I want to meet with Pastor Jeff, talk about a budget so that I can become more generous. I would love to meet with you and help you with that. But we got to have a plan. Generosity doesn't happen on its own. And finally, quickly, we need to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Great joy, believe it or not, I said it before, there is joy in giving. There is great joy in generous giving. One more verse for you, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I'll just say at the end, this is Jesus' words. I don't know who Jesus is quoting. It sounds like from Scripture he's quoting something, but Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. And we all know that. We all know that. It's how God's hardwired us. It's part of our DNA. When we give, God is blessed. When we give, the recipient's blessed, and we're blessed as well. When we give, we're reflecting God's nature and God's DNA, which is in us. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. It's part of who we are. God's created us to be giving and generous, just like himself. So I would say, and close with this, and just simply say, don't fight it. Don't fight it. You're fighting against who God created you to be if you're not willing to live a life of generosity. Pull out your connection card if you could. I do want to read through these next steps, and then we'll close. Some practical next steps. Obviously, you can come to Community Nights on Tuesday. We're going to be following up on this. Another practical next step that you can take, I will ask myself, is fear preventing me from living a life of generosity? If I currently do not give, I will begin the discipline of giving on a regular basis. It's a great next step that some of you can take. That may be a $1, but trust me, that's the beginning point for some of us for a life of generosity. And I will develop a plan that allows me to be more generous with my resources. If you want to meet with me, please check that box, and I'll follow up with you this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, God. Father, your word can be challenging at times. Your word is always convicting and truthful, though, Father. And so, Father, I ask that you would help us to continue to wrestle with this idea that you have called us to a life of giving and a life of generosity. Father, I ask that you would continue to transform our hearts, God, to believe you and your promises through Scripture, God, that you meet our generosity with provision and blessing, that, God, you never leave us in want. You never leave us in want, God, when we live a life of generosity, God. So I ask that you would be with people who need to overcome fears this week, God, to truly wrestle with them, whatever it may be, God. So, God, we thank you for your love for us, God. I thank you that, you know, your ways are not our ways, God, but I believe with all my heart that when we step into a life of generosity, that we will experience more joy and more freedom and more peace than we ever have. So, God, we thank you for that. It's your name I pray. Amen.